So there we go. We are live. We are on. Hallelujah. I just want to welcome everybody this morning to Father's House Online Church. We have our online gathering here. You can also listen to our messages on our Freedom Fire Ministries YouTube channel. All our teachings are on there up to date. And you can listen again on our website of freedomfireministries.com or fathershouse.co.uk on the audio section there. So if you want to like share those messages, you can share them from our website. You can share them from our Facebook pages to people that you just think maybe need to hear the message of the Lord, whatever message that may come or be that is needed for your friends and family. So we just want to welcome you this morning. We are an online church. We're based down in Dorset on the south coast of England. And we are just excited about this season. We're excited about what God is doing among us and how he's taking us deeper into a place of intimacy and a place of worship and a place of great expectation of what he's doing in this season, in a season where man does not have answers. God is the answer. He is our answer. He is our immovable rock. He is the one that is not shaken. When we are shaken, he is not shaken. And today it's really is about, you know, where are you building? Are you building your house on the sand that when the waves come, they're going to be washed away? Or are you building your house on the rock that is Christ Jesus, on God, on the great I am, that is the immovable rock that no matter what comes against us, no matter what happens on our community or our nation or our family or the nations of the world, that God still is on his throne. He is immovable and his ways will be worked out in his time. He is moving the chess players. He is moving everything around to hasten the day of his return. And we want to be those ones that partner with him in this season to hasten the day of his return. We want to be those ones. I'm expecting to be one of those ones that is on the earth when he returns in glory. I want to see him come. I want to be one of those ones that says, oh my gosh, he's here, you know, and is part of that great throng that welcomes him and watches the amazement on the face of the world, you know, as he rides in with all his angel armies. It's going to be absolutely glorious. So we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So this morning, I want to welcome you to our online church. Welcome to all those on Facebook Live. It's really good to see you on here. Welcome, Fran. It's great to see you. Andrew Miles, great to see you on here. Remember to share to your Facebook page the message. So this morning, I want to speak on mountains that speak. I want to talk to you about mountains that speak to us. And I really feel there's a challenge this morning, even before we start, is do you believe that you can move the mountains? Do you believe that you have the ability to move the mountains in front of you right now? Or do you think that you just have to keep going round and round the same mountain over and over and over again? So a mountain, I remember I walked part of the Camino de Santiago in 2018, I think it was, and it seems like a long time ago now. But there were three mountains that I had to climb to get over. You could go round them, but it was a really long way. But these three mountains, I decided that I was going to go over them, and I was going to go the scenic route, which meant going over the top. And I never thought, the weather was really bad. It was cold. It was snow and ice on the top of these mountains. And on the valley, the sun was shining. And so many people chose to go the valley route because the sun was there and it was beautiful. But I chose to go the scenic route. I wanted to take in the nature. I wanted to know that I'd done the climb. And I spent 6 days climbing three mountains. They may not have been big mountains to other people, but to me, they were huge. They were big mountains, and it took a lot of effort. And how did I climb those mountains? Easy. One step at a time. One step at a time. Taking time to rest, and then stepping back into that place of climbing the mountain again. So a mountain, what is a mountain? A mountain is something that will speak to you and tell you that things will never change. A mountain is something that you believe that you can never climb. A mountain is something that stands for things that are immovable, seem to be immovable or insurmountable in your life. According to some of the rabbinical teachings, they have this phrase that they have in their writings, and I really liked it. And it says, to remove mountains is to accomplish difficult or incredible things that otherwise would be deemed impossible or insurmountable. Let me read that again. To remove mountains is to accomplish difficult or incredible things that otherwise would be deemed impossible or insurmountable. So what they were saying was, every mountain, it is possible to remove those things that seem impossible, those things that seem insurmountable by others or even by yourself. They're saying that it is a great accomplishment, an incredible accomplishment, to shift a mountain that stands in your way. I want to look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 6, verse 13 says this to us. And this is when Moses was speaking to God, when God had said to him, you know, I want you to go back to Israel, back to Egypt, back to Pharaoh, and I want to use you to deliver my people. And Moses said, but Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, this is Exodus 6, verse 30, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Why would Pharaoh listen to me? Now, he knew that they were trying to find him because he'd murdered one of the Egyptians. And he was on the run, really, from Pharaoh. So here was God saying, Pharaoh, or Moses, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. I want you to walk in there and I want you to speak my words to him. And Pharaoh's like, are you being serious? Are you like being really serious right now? I can't even speak properly. Never mind, go stand before Pharaoh. So I'm just like, today, Pharaoh represents the immovable things and the impossible things in your life. That's what Pharaoh stands for. That which is immovable, that which is impossible. He represents bondage and control, captivity, imprisonment, slavery, addiction. So why would Pharaoh listen to you? Why would the mountain of your life right now listen to you if you speak to it, when you speak to it? Well, number one, because the glory presence of God rests on you. The glory presence of God rests on you. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2 say what? Arise, arise and shine. Why? He's asking us to move, to do something so that we can shine. Come out, get your light from under that bushel. Come and stand before me. Arise, let your light shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And this word Lord isn't just the word for God. It's his name, Adonai. It says the glory of Adonai rises upon you. And I think when we put the name of God into the verse, as they would read, as the Jews would read it, it brings about such a power and an authority. Arise, people of God. Shine, for your light has come. Yeshua is here. Jesus has come. And the glory of Adonai rises upon you. The glory, the presence, the glory manifestation of God rises upon you, believers of Christ today. And the second part says, see, darkness covers the whole earth and thick darkness its people. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Adonai rises upon you and his glory appears over you. This light that shines upon you, this light that rests on you, is the glory of Adonai. It's the glory of God. So why would the mountain listen to you? Because the glory of God rests upon you. Number two, God's favor and anointing flows through you. Isaiah 61 says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord, and it says, is upon me because, why is the Spirit of the Lord upon us? Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, to release prisoners, to declare favor, to declare the vengeance of God, to comfort, to release joy and hope and praise, to establish oaks of righteousness who will build and raise up all that has been destroyed or will be destroyed, to shepherd, to disciple, to minister before the Lord, and to bring wealth into the house of the Lord. Come on. That is why the Spirit of God is upon you. You're not just got the Spirit of God to get you through your day by day living and wondering about your household utility bills in this season that we live in. You have the glory of God upon you because you are called to be a proclaimer of something amazing. You're called to heal up the brokenhearted around you, to bring people out of captivity. You know, captives are those that are in captivity through no reason of their own. A captive is someone who has been taken by someone else and held captive through no fault of their own. And some of you today are captives because of things that other people have done to you or said to you or things that people are holding over you. And today God wants to set you free and release you from that captivity. We're called to release prisoners. Prisoners are those that deserve punishment. They deserve to be in prison. They should be imprisoned. Yet here we are. God is saying to the prisoners, I want you to declare freedom. I want you to bring freedom to those who are in prison, to those who are in bondage, to those who are under the power of addiction and the control of spirits that are not enabling them to be in control of themselves. I want you to declare favor. I want you to release joy. This is you today. This is who you are. This is what the glory of God is for. It's not just for a nice little feeling. It is for you to establish oaks of righteousness that who will build up the places that have been desolated and places in the future days that are going to seem barren. This is who you are. You're called to shepherd, to disciple, to minister before the Lord, and to bring wealth into the house of God. He says that he gives us power to get wealth, power to make wealth. Are you asking him for ideas on how to bring wealth into the house of the Lord today? Because if the glory of God rests upon you, that is your job. That is your job. It's all part of that beautiful package that he has given to us. So some of you may say, oh, but that was Isaiah, that was for Israel, and those things are not for us today, you know. Well, how do we know that these scriptures are for us today and not just prophetically speaking of Christ or Israel? Well, number one, Christ was the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. He fulfilled every prophetic word that had been spoken about him from the start of creation right through to his resurrection. Even today, prophecies are still being fulfilled. Matthew 5, verse 17 tells us, he says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He was the fulfillment of every prophecy concerning him. That was number one. He came and he was the fulfillment. Number two, he declared that you would do what he did and even more. Okay. So John 14, 12, whoever believes in me. So I think today, those of us that believe in Christ, we need to listen and we need to begin to activate these scriptures in our lives. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So the Lord is telling us that the things that he did, we should be doing. Things that he did, we should be doing. And he says at the end of that scripture, he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So there's an availability in Christ for us to activate the works of Christ in our lives to those around us. What were the works of Christ? He preached good news. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He taught life skills. He was there. He brought love, he brought joy, he brought freedom. Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accomplish those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So we see right away that you are called to move mountains of impossibility. Because there's nothing in me or you outside of Christ that can heal the sick or raise a dead person or get wealth or have creative ideas to do that. So we are called by God, equipped by him to move mountains of impossibility, mountains of sickness and disease, mountains of speaking in new tongues that seems so massive to some, picking up and destroying those things which are idols, which I believe are the snakes, those things that are idols in our lives and the lives of those around us, making them aware that they have idols. They may not even be aware that there are idols in their lives. Bringing deliverance, mountains of deliverance of the oppressed and the afflicted, mountains that of wounds that need healed or hurt and pain that need healed in people's lives, things that seem insurmountable to you or to others. You're called to move these mountains, guys. You're called, you're equipped. All that Christ had, he gives to us. We have authority to speak to those pharaohs and to bring those pharaohs down. Did a pharaoh shift at the first call? No, but it began to shake him. And every call that Moses made shook him more until that day when that mountain crumbled and the people of Israel walked free and began their journey to their promised land. So how do we move mountains? How do we move mountains that speak to us and say, you? Who are you to try and tell me what to do? Hey, who are you? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, now, so means it's a now word, now. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So we have a mountain in front of us that we can see it, but we can't see it moved yet. But faith gives us the confidence and the hope for the assurance to activate what we believe God has spoken over us. So faith in scripture, sometimes translated like believing or standing on truth or firmness, moral fidelity, steadfastness, remaining steady, trusting. So God is calling each one of us to stand firm and believe all his words, his promises, his declarations over our lives. He is calling us to stand strong morally and not compromise, to trust and remain steady. So when we stand in faith, this scripture speaks of having a confidence in all we hope for. So faith gives us a confidence in what we hope for and what we're trying to accomplish. So what do we hope for? What do I hope for? What do you hope for? Well, I hope for all the things that he has promised, the things that he has promised in his word, the things that he has promised to me and my family personally. So that's what I have faith for right now. So I have faith for a lot. I have faith to raise the dead. I have faith to heal the broken. I have faith to see our nation brought in and saved. So no matter what mountain we face, we have the power of God, the glory presence of God to move that mountain and to command that mountain to shift. Yeah. So we are definitely, I think, guys, we're in a shifting season at the moment. There isn't a nation that isn't being shaken right now to its core. We know we have this threat of a third world war, a nuclear war, whatever that would look like. We are being shaken to our very core. Every nation, every government is in a place of turmoil, is a place of sitting on a knife edge. So where does that leave us as believers? It has to leave us in the presence of God. It has to leave us in the mountain of Adonai, it has to leave us in a place of worship. It has to leave us so that our hearts do not get offended when we look around us and we don't understand what is happening. We either believe that without Christ, we are nothing. The Bible says without Christ, we are nothing. We have nothing and nothing. We have nothing to make anything shift. Without Jesus, it says all our good works are like filthy rags. It doesn't matter how much good we do in our own flesh. If we are not doing it with Christ, if his blessing is not on it, if we do not have Christ in our lives and we're partnering with him, it says that all the good that we do is like dirty washing. It's like filthy rags that just need to be burned in a fire, chucked away into the fire and burned, not to be seen anymore. When we stand before Jesus, he's not going to look for good works without Christ, without him. He's going to say, well, where was I in that? Did I ask you to do that? I didn't ask for that. Where were the things that I asked you to do? Where are the good works that I asked you to do? But you know, with faith that releases hope and assurance of what we do not yet see, you become the most powerful force on earth in this coming season. You become a powerful force in this coming season. You become vessels of hope to the hopeless. You are containers of the resurrection power of God, that power that raises the dead and heals the sick, that same power that enables others to stand firm and believe. That is who you are. That is who you are. That's who you should be. Are you like the person who, when things around you are shaking, press deeper into the Lord and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but Lord, I believe that this mountain will move and I'm speaking to this mountain and declaring this mountain to fall. I don't understand, God, what's happening, but God, I'm going to pray for this broken one that you've brought my way and I'm going to believe that the mountain in their life is going to fall. Or are you one that when things get difficult, like they are at the moment, are turning around saying things like, oh, I don't know where God is anymore. I'm not sure about my faith anymore. I mean, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And I don't know where's your depth in the Lord in these days? Where are your roots? Where are your roots sinking down into? Are they going down into the river of God, into the place of prayer, into the place of intimacy, into the place of the word? All that you need is in the word of God. Are your roots going deep in him? Or are your eyes focused on what is going on in the world? You are not of this world. You're of a different kingdom. You're a kingdom person, not a world person. You're here on earth sojourning onto the age to come, onto the rule of Christ on earth, onto hastening the return of Jesus Christ. That is who you are, a sojourner in this land, bringing kingdom, pushing back the gates of hell, establishing his truth in this place. You're an atmosphere shifter. Or are you a person who says yes to God when things are good, when things are easy, when you got that job that you wanted and everything's going well and you got lots of food in your cupboard and petrol in your car and you got a good deal at Costco on your fuel? Is that the kind of person you are that's where you see God? Because I believe in these days that those perspectives need to change. They need to shift. And we need to get back to being the God people that Jesus calls us to be. People of the word. People that take time to listen so that we understand the times and seasons. Wake up and smell the coffee, people. Wake up, wake up. You are called to serve him. He is not called to serve you. He brings you blessings. He brings you goodness. He brings you abundance. But he is not called to serve you. You are called to serve him. You are his son and daughter, but yet you are serving the great I am. So it's keeping the perspective in these days that will keep us focused in the right direction. Without Jesus, we have nothing to give to the world. We have nothing to give to the world but empty words and promises. But with him, we have everything, with nothing missing. We have everything with nothing missing. So our faith activates the word that moves mountains. Our faith activates the word that moves mountains. In Matthew chapter 21, we see the story of the fig tree. And this is like, the setting is like, Jesus, you know, has come to Jerusalem as king, and then he overturns, he sees these money changers in the temple, and he sits and makes this lovely little whip. He turns over the tables, he wrecks their tables, and he ushers them, he beats them out of the temple where they've been trading and operating, and declares that his house shall be a house of prayer. He was upset, and he upset a few people. And then off he went to Bethany for the night with his disciples. So I just want to read that to you just very quickly. It's Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We're just going to start at verse 18. Verse 18. It says, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. Why did Jesus curse the tree? In Mark, it tells us, Mark said to him, but it's not the season for figs. So why did he curse the tree for having no fruit, even though it wasn't fruit season? It seemed a bit harsh, didn't it? Well, number one, the kingdom of God was present in the form of the Messiah. Therefore, there was an expectation that fruit would be present. In Revelation 22, verse 2, it speaks about the coming down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit every month, and the leaves were there for healing of the nations. Okay, so where the kingdom is, there's the river and the trees. It speaks about New Jerusalem and the trees. And on these trees, every month, these trees were bearing all these different types of fruit. Every month, there was no out season. Because it was kingdom, it was always there. The fruit was always being born. It was always producing. There was an expectation of fruit. Number two, the fig tree represents Israel and its prosperity and its health as a nation. So it's like a barometer of health of the nation of Israel. All through scripture, he speaks about how the fig tree was barren in times of punishment or discipline and how it flourished in times of restoration. And here was a time of restoration. The Messiah had come, and the Messiah was walking past this fig tree, and it did not recognize him, and it did not bear fruit. Jesus was using the fig tree to teach the disciples of how they should read the signs of the times. So when we think about that in relation to our lives, you know, we are kingdom, right? We are of the kingdom. So what should we have in our lives on a continual basis? Fruit. There should be fruit on the vine. There should be fruit. We are in the vine that produces fruit. What is the fruit that God wants from us on a continual basis that he wants us to nurture and grow? It's the fruit of love and kindness, of humility, of meekness, of gentleness, of self-control, of perseverance, of patience. That is the fruit that God is looking for. When we look at the 10 virgins, 5 of them had the oil in their lamps. They were prepared. They had the fruit. They had everything that was needed. And the other 5 did not. And they were cast away. They did not get in. So for us today, if we are a fig tree, what are we producing in the kingdom? Because we host the Messiah. We host him by his spirit. So what is the fruit that we are producing that is a sign of the times and seasons of God's presence? What is it we're reflecting to those around us? What is it that we need to prune? In Galatians, it speaks about put off anger, wrath, malice, lies, greed, sexual immorality. Put on kindness, goodness, love, gentleness, meekness, humility. Put on, put off. What is it that we need to prune in our lives today? What do you need to prune in your life today so that the fruit of righteousness grows, so that you, as a fig tree, representation of Christ the Messiah, what is it that you should be producing today that demonstrates the signs and the times that he is coming? The signs of the times that he is here. He is here. Wherever you are, he is. What is the fruit that is required as you demonstrate the season that we are in right now with Christ? Number three, today, Israel's fig trees are abundant. They are abundant. They're producing like two big harvests a year. And the two crops they produce are produced at really interesting times. The first crop comes around the time of Passover. Come on. Passover, when Israel was delivered from Egypt, Joshua crossed the river into the promised land, all these things, when Christ became our Passover lamb, the fig trees bud and blossom and produce this huge harvest right at that time. And the second crop is around the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. God tabernacling with man. It speaks of what is and what is to come. And there's these two abundant harvests of figs in Israel that's happening right now. And my goodness, if that in itself is not a sign, a messianic sign to Israel, that their Messiah is coming. That, and when you look at how people are returning to the land, the fig trees are abundant, and now the nation is in waiting for the restoration of the temple and the return of Messiah. People, we're living in amazing times. Amazing times. Oh my goodness. So Jesus cursed the fig tree, showing that even in his presence, it was not prophetically declaring his sonship and authority. To the disciples, he was showing them how to read the times and the seasons. To recognize false signs. The fig tree was a false sign. It should have produced fruit because Messiah was there. It was a false sign. It was not declaring his presence. We don't want to be false signs for Jesus. We want to be true signs of the Messiah, that we carry him, that he inhabits. He was showing them the power of faith in himself as Messiah, that they also could do what he did, and yet greater than he would do, no matter what obstacles tried to stand in their way, that they had authority and power in their words to overcome and remove them. That's what he was saying. You just have to speak. If you believe and speak, it will happen. I will give this to you. In 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So before we speak to our mountains, before we speak to the mountains around us, we have to be able to believe. So what do you believe today? It goes back to, where's your foundation? Where are your roots? What is in your heart? What is in your spirit? What is in your mind? What do you fill your mind with? What do you fill your spirit with? What do you fill your soul with? Your emotions, your being, your feelings, all those things. What do you fill it with? Because either you will speak to the mountain or the mountain will speak to you. Bible says that faith moves mountains. And we sing that song, you know, if faith can move the mountain, let the mountain move. In Matthew 17, verse 20, it says, if you have faith, here we come back to faith again, back to belief, back to our grounding, back to our foundation. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move the mountains. Matthew 21:21, if you have faith and do not doubt, if you have faith and do not doubt. So an example of this is if I have a word of knowledge. So I had a word of knowledge a few weeks ago for someone concerning a heart condition. Okay, so I have a word. I believe that that word is from God. So I speak that word forth. I release that word into the need, into that heart condition. Okay, so one, we hear the word. Two, we believe the word. Three, we speak to that mountain and we command that mountain to move. We declare that that mountain moved. And four, the person that is receiving that word has to receive the word and speak to that mountain. Say, I receive that. I receive that healing. I receive that blessing. So when God releases a word of knowledge, it's already active in the spirit. He's already there. He's ready to activate that word. It's already like there in the heavenlies, in the unseen realm, in the spirit realm. So when God releases a word of knowledge, it's there. It is grace that releases a word to you that activates your faith, releasing the manifestation of the word of God. So when God releases a word, grace is activated in you that causes a faith to rise. Oh, I see this, or I'm feeling this. That is your faith coming into agreement with what God is releasing. And then your faith, as you believe it and you speak it, that word is made manifest in the seen realm. So God brings it from the unseen realm of the spirit to our, through grace, to our spirit and our spirit mind, so that we hear the word, we believe that word, we receive that word, and by faith we activate that word by speaking that word, and that word is then made manifest by the glory of God through you. So God wants something to happen. Do you believe it? I believe in this day God wants something to happen. I believe God wants revival of his church. I believe that he is pouring out his spirit in these days in ways that we have never seen before. I believe that God is going to come in a way that we do not expect to see or hear or understand. I believe it's going to be a move of great holiness unto the Lord, a move of power, a move of glory, a move where it cannot be anything but God, but God. You know, he wants something to happen. You know, he said in Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Can we take that word that's there, that's already activated in the heavens, that God spoke prophetically? I will pour out my spirit on the whole earth. Are we hearing it? Do we believe it? Will we proclaim it? And will we make a decree? God has said. God has said, therefore it shall be. In that moment, God is able to make manifest what he has said. The unseen realm of the spirit enters your seen realm of time and is activated through your faith, which is activated by the grace of God to bring that thing about. Jesus says, yes, we proclaim it. He manifests it, activates it. And our amen is like the full stop at the end that says, it is done. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. We have the keys of what? Heaven on earth. We have the keys to go into the spirit realm, take the word of God and say, Lord, this is what you have spoken. I believe it. I believe that you have called me to heal the sick. I'm going to go heal the sick. I'm going to go, if the dead, someone dies in front of me, I'm going to go and raise them. I am going to go and speak your word. You're going to pour out your spirit in all flesh. I'm going to decree that every day. I'm going to pray for leaders that your spirit will fall upon them and transform them and transform the church, transform the community. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, you need to speak it out. You need to release it from the heavenly realms to the seen realms, that the glory of God can take it and make it manifest. Faith positions us as co-workers with God. And the moment that you declare what God has said to whatever mountain you face, it is already activated. It is already activated. It took many plagues to bring the breakthrough of the mountain for Israel in Egypt. It may take many declarations and prayers and commands to bring down the mountains in front of you, but they will move. Why? Because God has spoken it and we believe it. Therefore, it is activated as we release it and speak to that mountain. God didn't tell the disciples to talk to God about the mountain. He told them to speak to the mountain. God isn't asking you to talk to him about your mountain. He's telling you to command that mountain to go. Whatever is that mountain? What is it? In Job 22, 28. It says this, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. What are you declaring? What are you prophesying? What are you speaking out of your mouth today? The Bible says that life and death are in your words. Life and death are in your words. Are you speaking life to that which surrounds you? Are you speaking death and curse to that which surrounds you? What mountains are you facing in this season? Is it a financial mountain? A mountain relating to your health? A mountain relating to relationships or family issues, a mountain of addiction, a mountain of grief. Some people I know have been trapped in this grief mountain, this cave of grief for so long. It's time to speak to that mountain. There are people that are trapped in addiction, addiction to the television, addiction to their mobile phone and games and TikTok and all those things. People that are addicted to pornography, people that are addicted to food, people that are addicted to coffee, all these different things that bind us and hold us and keep us captive. It's time to speak to those mountains. It's time to believe, to rise in faith and not doubt that God is for you and not against you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life, life, and they may have it more abundantly. God didn't come to keep you, to steal from you or kill you or destroy you. He came to give you life. He came to bring life to your family, onto your children's children's children. God called Moses to a mountain, Mount Horeb, and told him Israel would serve God on that mountain. God came down to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him the commandments. Jesus is coming back to a mountain, the Mount of Olives, and he will move that mountain. It says that his power will split the mountain in two. You know that same power rests in you. Ephesians 1:18 says, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. You have the same power to stand on your mountain and command it to go. You have the same power to stand on that mountain and let God give you a strategy for breaking it down. You have power to stand with God and get a strategy of how to come out of that addiction and that pain and that grief. Bible says that he gives you power to get wealth to bring into the house of the Lord. Are you taking time to ask him, God, show me how to get wealth in these days of uncertainty? Give me creative ideas, Lord. Where is the wealth waiting for me? Where do I go so that your kingdom gets built, so that it comes into your house? What mountains in your life are telling you they are too big? What mountains in your life are speaking to you right now? What is it? I know there's things that are going through your mind right now. What mountain in your life is telling you it's too big? It's time. It's time to stand firm. It's time to stand in faith. It's time to believe the word. It's time to speak. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. It's time for that mountain in your life to shift and that mountain to fall. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. God says, speak to the mountain. We're called to produce fruit for Christ. We're called to have this abundance of the Lord. So let's speak to these mountains that try to tell us they're too big today and bring them down. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is true. We thank you, Lord, that there is no fault or lie in your word. I thank you, Father, that we can stand by faith on your word, that you are the rock, the immovable one. You're the only thing that is immovable and unshakable. There is no mountain high enough, no mountain big enough that can stand against your word. Lord, I pray for these ones today, God, that you will activate their faith. Lord, that the gift of faith would be imparted to them today. Lord, where a belief would arise within them, that when they read your word, when they stand on your word, God, that they would believe it and have the hope and the assurance that as they declare and command, that they will have what they have asked for. You have said, God, that we have not because we ask not. Well, God, I declare over each one watching here today that you shall have what you ask for. If you believe and do not doubt, if you stand in faith with God believing, if Christ is your Savior today, if he is your Lord, then you have the power to shift this mountain in front of you right now. In Jesus' name, you have the power to shift this mountain. It is time to speak to the mountain. It is time to receive your healing. It is time to receive your miracle. It is time to receive your blessing. It is time to receive. Many of you have had prophetic words about your life. Many of you have had words of knowledge about your healing. It is time to receive those words and let them be activated in your life. It is time, I declare over you today, receive your healing. Whatever healing you need right now, I declare over you, receive your healing. Receive it. Take it and speak it over. Lord, I command this mountain of whatever to leave right now. You have spoken. I receive it, God. Receive your miracle right now. Whatever miracle you need, whether it's financial or health-wise, relationally, whatever it is, whatever miracle, speak to that mountain and receive your miracle. Whatever stands in the way of your blessing, receive your blessing. Command that mountain to move and receive your blessing. I command that mountain of whatever to be removed. Just speak that right now. I command that mountain of be removed in Jesus' name. God, I receive my healing. I receive my miracle. I receive my blessing. I receive it, God. You said I will declare a thing and it will be established. I receive it, God. I declare today that I am healed. I declare today that I walk in miracles. I declare today that I am surrounded and filled with blessing. Father, I bless each one today that they would have the revelation of the power that lives within them, of the power of their voice, the power of their words. Lord, that as they hear, Lord, that their faith would be activated to believe, that would release a hope and an assurance that it's coming to pass, an assurance that those mountains are falling. And we speak to those mountains today, God. And we say, go throw yourself in the sea. Go in Jesus' name. Peace and blessing and grace be upon you today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening today.